Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Just such a moving opportunity to reflect on the sacrifice that has been paid, the gift that we have in our nation. And I had the opportunity to be down in the Capitol just a couple of days ago with some friends who from out of town had never been there before, and got to show them the memorial, the Lincoln Memorial in particular, and a couple of the others we went by as well. And it was just all over for me, just this emotion, just like waves just rolled over me, and just again reflecting on the sacrifice that's been paid, just name after name at the Vietnam Memorial, you know, and just seeing those things, it really stirred my heart when it comes to understanding the importance of remembering, the importance of memorials. And so this morning, that's what I wanted to do for a little bit. I want to talk about memorials. I want to talk about remembering. And so I'm going to invite you, if you have a Bible, you can open it to the book of Joshua chapter 1. If you have notes, you can pull those out as well. And you may notice that these are a little different than our regular ones, that the notes in your worship guide do not have fill in the blanks. So you have to write full sentences. And we are going to check your punctuation after the service just to make sure. Part of our human nature, I think, is this tendency to forget. This tendency to forget the blessings that we have, the sacrifices that have been paid for us. You know, we just all too easily forget, and we kind of get into this comfort zone reality. I think it's just, you know, no condemnation here. I think it's just a part of our human tendency. I heard the story not too long ago of a pastor actually, who had gone to heaven, and he had, you know, by the way, this is not a theologically correct little story, so, but this pastor dies, he goes to heaven, and he's there in his clerical collar and his robe that he had used in ministry, and he's standing there in line at the pearly gates. And he's behind this guy, right in front of him, there's this guy who's dressed in, like, these sunglasses, a Metallica t-shirt, leather jacket, and jeans. And so this guy steps up to St. Peter, who's there at the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, "What's your name?" And the guy said, "Well, my name is Joe Green, and I'm a taxi driver from New York City." And so St. Peter's there looking through the list, and he goes, "Ooh, all right." And so he goes into this closet and pulls out this beautiful silken robe and this golden staff, and he hands it to Joe Green, the taxi driver from New York City. And he says, "Come on into heaven," right? "Come on into the kingdom of heaven." And so he goes in, and then next is this pastor, and without even Peter asking him, he kind of head held high says, "My name is Michael O'Connor, and I am the head pastor of St. Mary's Cathedral. I was there for 43 years." And so Peter goes, "Okay," and he's looking through his little list and goes, "Oh." He goes over to the closet and pulls out this old kind of crumpled up cotton robe, kind of scratchy looking, and this little wooden staff, and hands it to Michael O'Connor, pastor of St. Mary's Cathedral. And Michael O'Connor takes it, and he's holding it, and this pastor's holding this stuff in his arms, and he's going, "What? I'm confused." He said, that taxi driver guy who was right in front of me, he got a beautiful silk robe and a golden rod, and I get this little cotton robe and a wooden rod. What's this about? This can't be possible." And Peter said, "No, it's right here." He said, "We in the kingdom of heaven, we operate based on results. I mean, when you preached, people were sleeping. But when this guy was driving, people were praying." And so that's that's what it's about. And, you know, again, isn't that kind of how we are, though? It's like, We don't realize our need for God until we're in the back of the taxi cab, right? And by the way, I understand this now more than ever as my 16-year-old just got his license this last week. I've never been closer to Jesus than I am right now. Me and the big guy, we're like this. Now, Stacy's always close to Jesus, but for me, I need things to kind of shake me sometimes like that. And so, but again, the importance of remembering and setting up memorials, setting up these, being intentional about how we are remembering is, I think, so huge. Because, again, what can so often happen for us is we get stuck in our present reality. You know, the problems, the things that we're facing, the anxiety that maybe is rising up in us, or and we start to, those things, the realities in our life start to take over our attention, our thinking, our passion can get so steered into those things that before you know it, we can kind of forget. We forget what God's brought us through. We forget what God has done in our lives. And I believe whatever you're facing, wherever you are in your journey, for that matter, you could be a Christian for the last 25 minutes or the last 25 years, but I think that there's something powerful about taking these times to step back and go, God, you were with me. Remembering how God has been with you along the way. And I believe one of the most powerful ways to overcome whatever it is that you're facing is to take time to remember. Take time to remember God. And there's an author named George Centenaya who said these words. You maybe have heard it before, but he said, those who fail to remember are doomed, or fail to remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Those who fail to remember the past are doomed to repeat it. And again, it's just emphasizing this importance of remembering. Remembering where you've come from. Remembering what God has brought you through. And this morning, I want us to be changed by this truth. And this simple nugget that's just, I've been kind of sitting on here for the last week or so. And so if you're taking notes, you can jot this little thought down. And it's this. That when I remember God's presence, it gives me power to overcome in the future. That when I remember God's presence in the past, it gives me power to overcome in the future. And I think one of the most life-changing things to recognize is that God has been with you every step of the way in your life, even when you didn't know He was there. That He's been with you in that time that, again, you didn't even have faith in Him yet, and He was with you. In the time that you had failed miserably, God was with you. In the time that you felt like you were all alone, God was with you. In the time where you were mad at Him, God was with you. And when we take time to remember God's presence, when we take time to remember the way that He was present with us in the past, it's like setting the reset button a little bit in our hearts and our minds. That when we take time to remember His presence in the past, it's like it resets our heart and it gives us perspective as we look towards the future. As we reset our hearts and as we remember Him and how He's been with us along the way, it helps us to stay engaged in His process. Because, by the way, God has you in a process. He is moving you forward. He does have a plan and a purpose for your life. But the ability to stay connected to that is, it hinges on our ability to remember where He's brought us from, how He's brought us through. And so, this morning, again, I want us to reflect on that. I personally have found this to be one of the most powerful things in my own life. I guess the things that I'm sharing with you today are really the keys that I found to be keys to breakthrough in my own life. There have been some moments over the last number of years that I've wrestled at certain times with discouragement, even depression, even feeling the heaviness of just not knowing if I can make it through, feeling weary at times. And whenever I'm in those moments, I have this little thing that I do. I go and I grab at least one journal. Sometimes I grab five journals. Like sometimes I'll go grab like five of my old journals, plus I'll grab the one I'm currently in. And sometimes I'll just go through the pages, and I'll look through, and I'll remind my heart, and I'll remind myself of God. I remember when you did this, God. I remember when you spoke this to me. I remember when you showed me this thing, and I remember your faithfulness in this situation. And when I recount those things, I remind my heart about the things that He has done. It changes everything. In fact, I did it not too long ago, just in this last year, and I the Lord took me back to times that I don't even personally remember. Like when I was a newborn, I nearly died. I was sick and I barely made it, and God healed me. And then when I was 5, there was an instance that I vividly remember in my imagination. I nearly drowned and died. But the Lord sent my friend's dad around the corner of the apartment complex, and I was down at the bottom of the pool for quite some time. I could still see the lights of the pool in my mind. And all of a sudden, I felt this big arm just pull me up out of the water. When I was 9, there was an instance where I'd been over at the high school across the street from our neighborhood, and I was riding my bike. It was dusk. And I vividly remember this. I'm going across the road, and all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of the road, and this car is right there. And I hadn't seen it because the headlights weren't on and it was dusk. And the next thing I know, it didn't hit me, but I was up in the air, and then I was in the ditch on the side of the road in the shrubs. And I get up and I'm kind of dazed, and the driver stops and, you know, is kind of just, you know, in shock as well. And hey, can I help you? Can I take you home? And I get on my bike, and I remember just riding all the way home, and the driver like followed me home, and then I remember my parents were out in the front yard, and the driver saying, I don't know how, but I don't know how I didn't hit him, but somehow he was just up in the air and then in the bushes, and I don't know, I didn't feel like any angel's wings or anything like that. All I know is that God has been with me so many times that. And there are times when probably I didn't even deserve it, and He protected me. And so when I take time to remember the ways that He has been with me, it's so powerful, because all of a sudden what it does is it awakens in my heart this confidence. It awakens in my heart this confidence that, God, You have a plan for my future. Lord, You have me here for a reason, that You're not done with me yet. And all of a sudden I begin to have this confidence as I look ahead going, God, let's do this thing. Lead me into what You have for me. And so this morning, again, I want us to reflect on, and I want us to think a little bit about how are we doing? How are you doing when it comes to remembering God? And I want us to think again about the power of doing that, but I want to maybe even lead us into some ways and some just opportunities that we could have to really allow that to become, maybe that's something that you haven't done much of. And by the end of this morning, my hope is that you will be someone that not only this morning will you have the opportunity to remember and to reflect on the ways that God has been there in your life, but that maybe this could become a regular thing for you as well. And so Joshua 1 is where we're going to begin this morning. Joshua 1, verse 1, it says this. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. And I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Again, when you remember God's presence, it gives you power to overcome in the future. And what I want us to recognize today is we're going to look through the book of Joshua here a little bit, and we're going to reflect on how the power of remembrance was pivotal to them getting to the place of promise that God had for them. And I want us to learn some things from them and how that could be true for us as well. So I'm just going to give you 4 things as we kind of sort through this today. And the first is this, that the first evidence that you're remembering well, that I'm remembering well, the first evidence of that is that I embrace change. I embrace change. Some of you are about to take notes, and then you're like, I'm not going to write that one down. Because
Again, human nature for us, either you love change or you hate it. At least that's, for a lot of us, when we think at the surface level about change, some of us go, ooh, yeah, let's do this. And then others are like, not so much, right? Like, just keep it steady. Just keep it the same. Don't mess it. You know, don't move my cheese. Just keep it where it is, right? And so, and I think, again, I think what the reality is, though, is this, that it's not change that we really have a problem with. Because if you're not changing, you're dying or you're dead, right? Because part of this life is changing and growing in many ways, whether that's physically, relationally, professionally. I mean, change and growth, I mean, that just should be part of life. And it is for many of us, whether you realize it or not. Even if you don't think you're very good with change, you know, chances are you change and you don't even think about it. So, now what are you going to do, right? But I think what we really struggle with is not change as much as it is transition. That transition has to do with an old season that is done and a new season that is beginning. And whenever you're in the midst of transition, what transition has to do with is loss. That I really loved what was going on here. I really loved what I had here. I really loved the relationships, the whatever that was going on here. And now that season is gone. And sometimes that has to do with the literal loss of someone in our lives. Sometimes it's a new job, a new school, that you move, whatever it is. But it has to do with the emotional side of that. And again, our ability to embrace change is going to be key. You know, and furthermore, to getting to what God has for us. And it's going to be the evidence that we are remembering well. You know, when I first got married, I remember, you know, being so excited to get married, you know, and I was an independent, whatever I was, 23-year-old, and all of a sudden, getting married, and like there's this other person that has their opinions and their ideas about how life should work, and now I had some decisions to make. I can keep throwing my clothes on the floor and keep, you know, watching sports all afternoon, or I could get up and help with the dishes. You know, I mean, there's all these things that I'm going, what? For one thing, I didn't realize how selfish I was until I got married. But furthermore, I realized that if I want this relationship to be part of my life moving forward, and then as I started having kids, if I want to experience all that God has for me in this whole marriage and family thing, I have to change some things. And it wasn't always my favorite. It wasn't always fun. And so, again, embracing change has to do with this recognition that, God, if I'm going to get where you want me to go, if I'm going to be able to receive what you have for me, I have to come to this place in my heart where I embrace the understanding that I'm not fully arrived yet, and that there's constantly going to be areas that you're going to be pointing out and saying, I want to lead you into this, or I want to adjust that. And so when here's the thing that I found, though, is that when I'm refusing change, and by the way, when I'm talking about change, I'm talking about change that God's orchestrating. Now, there is such a thing as change for change's sake. This is probably not the healthiest thing in the world. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the areas that God's saying, I want to take you from here to there. I want to change this in your life. I want to grow you here. That's the kind of change I'm talking about, the change that God's orchestrating. And when I refuse that kind of change, what I'm saying is this. I'm saying, God, I don't trust that you are good. When I'm refusing that, when I'm butting my head up against that, what I'm really saying is, God, I don't have full confidence that you're good and that you're faithful. I kind of want to keep my hands on the steering wheel of this thing. I want to kind of, you know, make sure that I've got control. But the thing is when I reject and when I resist change in that way, the biggest risk in it all is my future. The biggest risk is that I may miss what God has. And so in the moments that we read about here in the book of Joshua, they had this decision to make. They could have stayed on the other side of the Jordan. I mean, they could have stayed there. But here, God's saying to Joshua, I want to take you to a place of promise. I want to give you a land that you and your people and your kids and your grandkids and the generations to come, I want to give you a place that you can prosper, that you can grow and be blessed. But here's the thing. You're going to have to cross to the other side of the river. And they're going, wait a second. We've been over here for a long time. I mean, Moses was here with it. If it was good enough for Moses, why do I need to go over to that side? Why do I need to go over there? This is just fine. And so they had some decisions to make. And I want to tell you right now that if you want to get to the place of promise, I'm going to tell you, it's going to require some risk. And again, it's going to require change. And so here's where remembering comes into play with all this. As we look at the story of Joshua and the people, when you look back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, there was another crossroads season where God had spoken to Moses years prior. And he had said, I want to take the people, I want to take them to the promised land. I want to take you and the people there. And the people refused. They said, no, we like it over here. We like it here. We got everything set up just fine. We don't need to go to another place. And that's what it talks about here in Deuteronomy 1:32. It says, in spite of this, he's talking to the people of Israel, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. So God's saying, man, you forgot. You forgot the way that I was with the people in the past. You forgot the way that I've been faithful before. And so now you miss the opportunity to go into the place of promise. And so you gotta think that now Joshua, when it comes to remembering well, Joshua and the people are going, hey, you remember? Remember years back when God had talked about this whole promised land thing and we rejected it. Maybe we shouldn't do that this time. Can I tell you, sometimes remembering well, it's not just remembering the ways that God has been faithful. Sometimes it's remembering the things that we missed along the way. Sometimes it's remembering, man, I missed, or it's learning from the mistakes of others. Can I tell you, that's the best way to learn? You know, I mean, if you see someone walk into a brick wall with their forehead, and they, oh man, that wall is hard. My head's soft, and that's a hard wall. Don't run into hard walls, right? I'm going to take notes and say, yeah, I'm not going to run into hard walls. That's a good idea, and I'm not going to try that one. And so we want to learn, and we want to remember the lessons that we learn along the way. And so again, when I remember well, then ultimately, I'm going to be able to embrace change. Here's the second thing. The second evidence that I am remembering well is that I obey God. I obey God. So God speaks here first to Joshua now in verse 7. And these are the words that maybe some of you have on your living room wall or a little plaque in your office. But he says, be strong and very what? Courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And so Joshua, you know, he hears these words from the Lord. Now he turns and he speaks to the people in verse 11. And he says, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. In verse 16, the people then say to Joshua, they say this, they say, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Now the ironic thing about this verse is that the people didn't always obey Moses. But what they're saying here is we recognize and we're elevating the value of obedience. And even, again, we've remembered that disobedience didn't work out too well for us in the past. So we're going to do our best to obey you now, Joshua. And so, again, it's recognizing the role of obedience. If we want to get to the place God has for us, if we want to see the blessing of God on our lives and our families, we got to obey.
I have a little mini Labradoodle at home, as some of you know, named Jordy. And we're showing my friends the other day that this little thing that Jordy does. I'll get down on my knees, and I'll go, Jordy, pound it. And he'll get his little paw up, and he'll kind of put it towards me, you know, so we can pound it. And then I'll pull from my other hand, I'll pull like a piece of bacon or a piece of steak or meat, something like that, and I'll give it to him. And he's loving it. And what happens after that is then he gets his paw back up there. And even if I haven't said pound it, he's like, you know, come on, bring him up, bring it. You know, he's just, give me the good stuff. Why? But he knows that if he obeys, and then, granted, that's the only area of his life that he obeys me. Other than that, he's kind of disobedient otherwise. But my point is this, that he knows that if he obeys in those moments, he gets something good on the other side. Now, he is like some of us as well, where he'll get to that place where it's, you know, hey, God, come on. It's not a formula, you know, but sometimes we make it a formula, right? Hey, God, I'm doing it. Give me, come on, bring the good stuff. But obedience, again, it's understanding that it's developing this conviction that, God, I want to be a person of obedience because I want what you have for me. That when I obey you, generally things go well. Now, I'm not saying everything goes perfect and easy in your life when you obey. Again, it's not about a formula, but when I'm remembering well and when I'm taking time to remember the importance of obedience and even reflecting on the times that, God, here's where I obeyed you and here's where I saw things go well, and God, here's the times where I disobeyed and I didn't do the greatest, and I have stories on both sides of those things. I've told some of you the stories of even in Bible college when the Lord had spoken to me about don't take a loan, and man, I got to see the blessing of God and providing. It was so fun. But then I have some other stories where it was like, just be patient, Abe. Come on, man. You know, and I disobeyed, and I did some things that even in certain situations where I just go, man, Lord, thank you for your grace, because, man, I need a fresh start on that one. So, but when we remind our hearts, see, here's the thing about obedience, that obedience is not about following rules from this fear standpoint. That when we want to be a people of obedience that are obeying because we trust his love and his goodness. That we would say, God, I want to draw near to you in your heart, and I don't want to miss a thing. I want to take the steps that you have for me. And see, again, it's not obedience. Sometimes people think of obedience as a way to get God closer to us. But obedience is just a way that we continually draw near to him. That's what obedience is really all about. And so it's just about being someone that says, God, I open your word and I want to get to know you. And it's not about proving how spiritual I am. I just want to get to know your heart so that when I'm living out my life, I can just not miss a thing. I want to be a person of obedience. Again, if you're obeying in fear, you're missing the point of his commands. The Ten Commandments were not God's way of saying, you better obey these or else, pss, you know, lightning strike. It was, hey, if you follow these commands, just know that this is my heart. I want you to experience all I have for you. And following these commands is going to keep you close to my heart and close to my ways. So when I remember his love for me and I continually come back to his word and I'm listening for his voice, again, I'm going to be near to him, and it's going to give me this reassurance that, God, your love and your goodness are there for me, and I don't want to be far from you. So I obey. Well, we continue the story here in the book of Joshua, and I'll summarize chapter 3, but it's probably the most famous one of all in the book of Joshua, but it's in chapter 3 where now they're standing there at the Jordan River, and God gives instructions. He says, get 12 priests, go and have them put their feet in the water with the Ark of the Covenant in their hands, and then the waters are going to part, and you and all the people are going to cross the other side. And so they do that. The priests, they go, they get the Ark of the Covenant, they put their feet in the water, the waters sure enough part, and the people start crossing through to the other side. And now we get to Joshua 4. You can turn over there if you want to Joshua 4. And this is what I want us to see in verse 1. It says that now when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So notice here what the instructions he gives them, where initially in chapter 3 it was choose, you know, find the 12 priests and have them go stand in the water. Now he just says, just find 12 ordinary guys. 12 ordinary guys, because he wanted to make sure the people themselves were a part of this and they experienced and they were interacting with the faithfulness of God on this. And so just get 12 guys and tell them to go to the middle of the riverbed where the waters have parted. The waters are still standing on either side. And he said, go and have them get 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. And this is all very, very significant. Not stones from the bank, not from stones from the side, but stones from the middle of the Jordan. Because what he wanted these stones to remind them of is that God brought them back from a place that people don't come from. I mean, people don't come back from the middle of the river, right? If you get something from the bottom of the riverbed, if you're trying to get a stone down there, it ain't going to go too well for you, right? And what God wanted to make sure they remembered and that they could pass down from generation to generation is that I brought you through a place that man can't get through on their own. That I brought you through. And he wanted them to be able to recount this, to remember, so that they wouldn't repeat the past. And so furthermore, that they would remember his goodness in the past and how he brought them through. And so here's the third thing. The evidence that I'm remembering well is that I make memorials. What do I mean by that? Again, when you've made it through places that people don't come through normally, when you've made it through, don't you think it's good to stop and remember that? Again, here on this Memorial Day, Memorial Day weekend, we live in a nation that I think all too easily forget the sacrifices that have been paid. And the reason I love Memorial Day weekend, the reason I love going down and visiting the memorials on a regular basis is because I love, and I think it's so important for my heart, for my kids' hearts, for others to be reminded that there was a price that was paid for this freedom that we enjoy. The reason that I'll even recount stories with my kids about ways that God has been faithful in our family, it's because I don't want them to forget the testimony of how God has brought us to where we are as a family, right? And so we want to be a people who make memorials, that we are intentionally setting up reminders, whatever that looks like. You know, it could be family devotions. It could be journaling for yourself. But find ways to make sure you don't forget. Now, we don't know exactly how long these stones were there, but we do know that the people remembered, and continually through the generations, there were these stories that continued to remain of God's faithfulness. So I'm remembering well when I make memorials, but here's the greatest evidence that I want to leave with you this morning. When we think about whether or not we are people who are remembering well, the fourth thing that I want us to think about today is that I know I'm remembering well when I become the memorial. That I don't just make memorials, but I become the memorial. There's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 where Peter talks about this thing called living stones. He says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. What Peter is talking about is he's saying, again, you and the story of your life and the story of what God has done in your life, it's being worked together in such a way that now you are the ministers that God is going to use to point people to him. And can I tell you, what's the greatest source of ministry that you have?
Some of you might go, I didn't even know I was in ministry. No, if you have Jesus in your life, if God's done something great in your life, then you have a ministry to offer. And the greatest ministry you have to offer is your story. And so when you become someone who is doing the things that we've talked about today, when you're someone who is making sure to obey him, when you're being someone that is being conscious to remember him and what he's done in your life, when you're being some, when you're consciously saying, God, I want to be open to the change you have for me. I'm willing to put my feet in the water to so you can take me wherever you want to go. That when you're doing that, what begins to happen is you're going to see his faithfulness time and time and time again. And then what you begin to store up is this treasury of stories you get to share with others. That everywhere you go, you're going to encounter people where people who are in hopeless situations, people who have gone through things that maybe are similar to what you've gone through, who've gone through addiction, who've gone through divorce, who've gone through losing a business, who've gone through depression, cancer, whatever God has brought you through, when you store up those stories, when you remember them well, when you make memorials, again, you become a living memorial. You become someone who proclaims the goodness of God to those around you. And see, when we become, again, these living memorials, these living stones, that is the objective of our journey in God. When you think about what is the promised land for us here in modern day America, the promised land for you and the promised land for me is that we would become living stones, that we would become a spiritual house that is built together, even as a church family, that as we live out our journey together, as we proclaim our story to others, that we proclaim to the community and the world around us that God is good and that he is faithful and he loves them and he has a plan for their life as well. And that is when we start to see the fulfillment and the promise come about in our lives. And so this morning, again, I just sense that, as I said when we began, that, again, there's such power in remembering the past, that when we remember the past, it's so powerful because it propels us into the future that God has for us. And I sense today that for some of us, that there's something that for some of us today that we've got to, that for some of us today, as you remember something, as you remember, maybe, whether it's remember something that God has done in your life, or as you remember the way that God brought you through a situation, or remember maybe someone who was meaningful in your life, that there is going to be something, even as you really allow your heart to engage with that today, and I believe that there's something that's going to break through. I believe, as I was praying this morning, the Lord just kept whispering to my heart that there are going to be some significant breakthroughs in this house today. And it's not because you finally got your act together and, man, look, I got it all together now. No, the breakthrough is going to come because you simply say, God, you are faithful, and I'm just taking some time to just remember how good you are, and I'm going to even... In fact, we're in just a moment here, we're going to worship. In fact, worship team, if I want to come on up here. As we worship, I'm going to invite you over the next few minutes to come. And we have some stones up here on this side, on that side, with some Sharpies. And for some of us this morning, this is going to be a holy moment for us. That as you would come and as you would maybe acknowledge, God, here's an area that I want to make sure I don't forget. I don't want to forget that you brought me through this, or that you were present in this, or you sent this person in my life. And as we do this today, I believe for some of us that it's going to unlock something. That some of us were really struggling with some doubts coming into this place today. Some of us today were really struggling with some discouragement and frustration, maybe even some fear and anxiety. And yet as we take time to remember him and remember his goodness and remember his love and remember these things that we've talked about today, and as even you set up a memorial today, give you a little stone, you can put it in your purse or put it on your coffee table at home or whatever works for you. But I believe that my hope is that it would propel us into a lifestyle of remembering well. For some today, you may write something down. For others, you may go, you know what? I don't even know if I have anything to write down. But today I feel like God wants me to go stand in the middle of Jordan, like to put my feet in the water like those priests did. And for some of you, you'd say, I just feel like today I'm going to go grab a stone. I don't even know if I'm going to write anything on it yet, as much as I want to be like those guys that had to go into the middle of the Jordan and get a stone and just say, you know, I'm gonna hold on to this, and I just want to get into the middle of the Jordan. I just want to start taking steps into what God has for me. But over the next few minutes, I really want to encourage you to let this be a moment where you just interact with the Lord in that way. And in fact, I'm going to ask our ministry teams to come up, maybe some over here. I'll be over on this side. And if you would even want someone to just pray over you, we'd love to do that. We had a bunch of people in the last service that really were just engaging with what God was doing in their hearts. And I hope today that you don't miss this moment, because I believe, again, God wants to really allow something to break through today. So, Lord, this morning we come and just open our hearts to you. We thank you. Thank you for the things you've done in our lives. And as we take time to remember today, and for some of us even embracing the possibility of change or a next step you would have in our lives, we just want to tell you today we love you. We trust you. You're good. You're faithful. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak to each of our hearts right now in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.